Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to LARPs and TARPs. I am Tom, joined by...
Morgan! Why do I feel like I'm introducing like a kid's TV show? Woo! Hi, guys, I'm Morgan.
God, he's a creep.
No, stop. I'm Noel Edmonds. You're Mr. Blobby.
And I thought that was going normally.
It was. I think I derailed it this time, which is ridiculous.
You do, but a little treat.
What a little treat. A little derailing the intro is a treat. That's all right, I'll let you carry on. Yes, I'm Morgan. Hi, everyone.
So this week, we will be talking about my experience of crewing Forlorn Hope.
Is this the first time we've done an episode where you've been to a LARP and I haven't?
I believe so, yes.
And funnily enough, I have been to this. I did come to this LARP.
You hitched on right at the end.
Right at the end. I clung on for dear life as a silly little French man. Petit baguette. But yeah, you had your first time crewing?
First time crewing. It was a lot of fun. So, if you've ever heard of iLARP, they were always looking for crew to run their events. Obviously, Johnny and Kitty, as amazing as they are, can't play every NPC on the field. And so, give out free crew tickets for those who are willing to come and play the NPCs for the weekend and help maintain the camp, keep everything clean, and keep the players entertained. Now, I'm going to start off the episode with the public service announcement that if you get one of these tickets, please fucking go.
Yeah, there's a big... We've discussed this before, haven't we? But there's a big kind of... I know Hoist the Colours was really bad for last time, but like a lot of people, because they haven't paid for a ticket, they just kind of drop out.
Yeah.
Which is like leaves the actual crew that are there and the game runners in like a really tough spot. Like trying to call in favours of people that weren't necessarily doing it and stuff.
There's also a load of people who actually do want to crew these events.
And then can't get in because people have bought tickets, but then don't go.
Yeah, exactly. So if you do get a crew ticket, please do go because it is a massive help to Johnny, Kitty, and all the people playing with the experience. Now, I will also say, if you have never LARPed before and want to start off with an iLARP, which me and Morgan both agree is probably the best LARP system to start off with.
I do think that... I think that's a nuanced answer to that, but I do think that iLARP is a real... Well, in fact, we've got a friend whose first LARP was iLARP, and they had a fantastic time, and then they went to an Empire event, and they still enjoyed it, but it was a lot more great, like a lot more like lore-heavy, I guess.
You've got the crunch. You have a lot more rules to memorize.
Yeah, a lot more lore, whereas I think iLARP is kind of film-simmy. Some of them have got like lore, but it's easier to just kind of jump in.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's a lot less rules. So I think you're right. I think Feast Your Eyes and iLARP are two very kind of good starter LARPs, I would say.
Oh, most certainly. Especially since there's no huge overriding plot that spans 7 years or however long Empire's gone with a massive Wikipedia.
It's been running for 11 years, but 2 years were COVID. So it's like, I think this is the ninth in-game year.
Yeah. Johnny, Kitty, and the writing team write out a fantastic plot for the weekend. You go, play your character, have a great time. Bing, bam, bosh. Now, doing crewing is a fantastic way to get into LARP because it's free.
Yes.
iLARP provide kit for you, and you can have a go at so many different roles. See what you like, see what you don't like, see what your RPing strengths are, what your RP weaknesses, kind of detect a level of maybe conflicting role play, see if that's up your street. There is so much you can do for crewing. So,
they feed you.
They do feed you.
You get fed.
And Johnny, the things you can do with a chicken, it is wonderful. So, yeah, crewing is great. So this was my first experience of crewing. Of course, I have played many LARPs before and thoroughly enjoyed it. But this time I was like, I'm poor. And I really have always wanted to do Napoleonic LARP.
Yeah, because actually putting the kit together, this would be crazy, right? Because like the kits, the
Napoleonic kit, because I wanted to reenact as a kid, well, when I was at uni. Always had an interest in it. The shackle alone, which is the hat a standard British private redcoat wears, will probably set you back around 200 quid. That's just for the hat.
Yeah.
Never mind the coat, the breeches, the boots, everything else. And that's just the accessible private level. The higher up you go, the more expensive your costume is. So for me, crewing was a dream because all the kit was provided over the weekend. Now, if you are a player, want to try the game and don't have any of the kit, but want to give it a try, Harry has negotiated with a company where you can rent out a private's kit or a rifleman's kit for £50. But there's only 10 of each, so get on those fast, but it's an accessible option.
I was gonna say, that's a really decent way of, especially if you're not, because I think, I gathered that some of the people that went were reenactors.
Yes.
So they had a lot of like top-notch kit when they got there, right?
I had so much kit envy. I wasn't even playing. I was like, oh, the drip. The drip is gorgeous. So, yeah. Any questions to start off with?
Oh, I think I was in the hot seat. I think it would be good to just get an idea of like what the rundown was, because I assume it was a standard ILARP kind of outlay. It would be good to get an idea, I suppose, of what your kind of brief was, like on the Friday night, or like what your vibe was, because I know a couple of things that you got up to over the weekend. But like when you got there, what was your kind of like experience as crew?
So
we've given the player perspective. When you got there, what was your kind of crew experience?
So my first bit of crew experience was not technically crew experience. It was go for a piss because I had been on coach for 11 hours and really need to pee. Have a Monster energy drink to really get myself going. And then it was the usual Johnny giving the rundown of the weekend, Harry telling everyone about the game. And then crew breaks off and goes to the hut. Now, we get told what's expected of us through the weekend. All new players are asked to raise their hands so they know who's crewing for the first time.
Sure, yeah.
Who might need a bit more support. And basically, Harry goes through the itinerary of the weekend. He's sent this out a couple of weeks before so we can all like learn what's going to happen, get to know the roles, and know what's expected of us over the weekend. But the first act was go around and say what's intended for the tonight. Say a few of the key roles that they want people to play. So I volunteered to play Treacherous Private.
It's the role you were born to play, Tom.
Yeah, as soon as Treacherous Private came up, my hand shot up.
Tom would love to play a skeevy guy, please.
A skeevy guy?
You got any skeevy roles? I'd love to be a skeevy guy.
Do you think I'll ever play just a nice character or a badass hero?
Well, your next Empire character is a former badass hero. So, you know, it's kind of there.
It's getting there. We're leaning slightly in the right direction. So they go through with the roles. There was a bit where Harry was saying what plot hooks were going to be throughout the night. So it's like dialogue to bring in, like, oh, the Lord of Cheltenham, he's allergic to oysters, don't you know? Or there may be a... there's no supplies coming in. We're starving. Yeah. Dropping hints and bits of story beats throughout the night and just really make the camp a bit more atmospheric.
Yeah.
So the roles I remember were, there was one of the players playing kind of a corporal sergeant, but with two goons who was like leading a gambling table. There was me who was there to incite treachery with any privates and maybe tempt them to a little bit of desertion over the weekend.
It was a treat.
Just a little deserting treat. There was those who were going to go out into the woods as the Spanish. So there was a few Spaniards and a few nuns who were going to go out in the woods. And I believe they were going to... I can't remember. Were they selling weapons or giving out food? I didn't go on that excursion, but people volunteered to be nuns. And I just remember...
I seem to remember there was a nun... No, someone told me they played a nun. They were like, had food available. I imagine it was the Spaniards with the weapons, I think.
Yeah. One of the nuns, I think Oily got a major surprise for one of the nuns when they turned around, the most beautiful feminine faces you see, and then the third one just turns around, great big bushy beard.
Love that.
In full nun kit.
Love that.
So we got your roles, and then we get set loose on the camp. So all the players have gone out, Kitty's going to lead them in, our job is... just to wait around camp, make
bring
it like
life to the town.
Yeah, make it look atmospheric. So if you've listened to our episodes before, you know Friday night, chill night.
Yeah.
Everyone's just gonna dip their toes into the plot for the weekend.
A sprinkling of plot.
It's just a little sprinkle of a plot. A
little seasoning.
It's a little treat. So, here we go. I start off in the game with a few of the privates just guarding the fort. I'm in one of the towers, two people in the front, one in the row of a tower, and we just see the players march in. So, but we're just being really atmospheric, like, who's going there? You brought food with you? Really bringing a spark of life to the camp. And I really think that's a lot of fun. Like, you're not going into the game as a new character or your character's like, oh, what am I going to do this weekend? Sure. What's my plot going to be? You can just like, I'm just an NPC.
Yeah.
Basically an Oblivion NPC with like dialogue you say on reverse or all the time, loopy loop, repeat, repeat.
Walking into walls.
Yeah. So that was like a nice little entry to the night. You go and socialize with the players, sprinkle yourself in, socialize, talk about whatever happens in the Peninsula War. I'm going around saying, fucking meat grinder out there, mate. It's terrible. Die. We ain't been paid in months. Food, there's no food left. Way behind enemy lines. What are you thinking about all this? How long you guys been here? So my first one I did to that is as soon as I saw Oily, who I knew was playing a private, beelined over to him. He's like, all right, kilt boy.
Kilt boy.
What are you doing here?
I like to think, I think a good ruse could have been like, how do you feel about dessert? And desserting, and they look at you and you're like, provide a banana split. And I'm like, what did you think I was talking about?
I prepared that far in advance.
What did you think? What were you thinking about? I mean, we could do. I'm joking. Unless.
I have to say, it was very hard planting seeds of desertion where two-thirds of the characters were fucking officers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You couldn't wave a stick around without hitting an officer when talking to a private.
Full of them. Officers full of them. Everywhere.
So it's like, oh yeah, some privates have been talking about desertion. Might be able to get it out. Not me, of course.
Not me, I never would, officer. What do I look like? A deserter?
I've been here 8 years, sir. 8 years.
Sir, I'm very loyal to His Majesty the King.
Yes, yeah, very much so.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So the script said, if you gauge interest, good. Tell them to meet you here at this time tomorrow. If it looks like they're not inviting, just leave it, play it off like you're not interested. Or if they rat you into the provost, who are basically the military police, they keep law, order, and morale up, you get dragged off in handcuffs.
Hell yeah.
And no one was biting.
That's a shame.
I was being such an obvious little treacherous boy. So,
just going up to them, do you want a dessert? No! Oh, shit.
treacherous little boy. So me and another player plays Sergeant Call in another system.
I did not see him there.
Yeah, he was there.
Oh, did I see him? I can't remember now. Must have missed him. Oh.
Yeah, don't know if I got permission to say the player's name, but I will call him Sergeant Call.
Sergeant Call.
He was playing another private, and we're like, fucking hell. These lot aren't biting. How do we get me to look a bit more treacherous? Like, okay, we'll work something out. Now, one of the crew members come in. He was the quartermaster. Big chest. And he had a big box of money, too.
Yeah.
Put it down under the side. I was like, he just leaves it. Like, has he fucking left a chest full of the pay in front of all the privates? And as soon as he walks off, Sergeant Call and one of the actual in-game sergeants is there in the box. Hand me some of the money because I saw as my cut and all go our separate ways. Now, to make it look like I'm a bit more of a skeevy bastard because no one was biting for the desertion, they basically set me up that I was the one who stole from the box.
Oh. Did it land?
It did. Which was hilarious. But because I said I saw the quartermaster walk off with a chest, they caught me in a lie. So he also asked me to empty out my pockets.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And because I'd been paid and also given a bit of coin extra from that, it's like, well, that's more than he's usually paid.
Yeah.
I was also, cheeky buggers.
Is this on the Friday?
This is on the Friday.
Yeah, okay.
Put money in my bed. So when my room was inspected,
they found
the coin.
Oh, dear.
But as a crew member, it's a lot of fun. It's like, all right, you got me. I'm not losing anything in this.
Yeah.
So I get dragged off by the provost in chains. They're having fun being provost and get put in my hut. Stay there for a couple of minutes. I hold up my hand and run back out into the night and came back as Barnabas Brown, bootseller.
Oh, dear.
Bang on and all that, playing... Have you ever watched the Bombardier beer adverts?
I don't think so.
It's like, Bombardier, bang on, all like super boisterous.
Yes, no, I do know, yes.
Yeah, that was basically my boot-shining selling character.
Incredible.
Nietzsche was a boot seller in his early life, so I was like, bring it over. Stick with what you know.
Oh, dear.
And that was basically my Friday night in Rit- Be a character in the town,
sure.
Make it feel more lived in. It was quite a chilled night. A few people went on the excursions. I don't believe I left the town that night. So it was just the usual Friday night of mince around with the players, have some drinks until time out.
Yeah, nice.
Seeing Kitty and Circuit trying, well, Kitty hooking Circuit's character up with one of the British gents. That was quite entertaining.
Oh, dear.
Seeing the officers all in there, once in Barnabas Brown and like a private citizen who's touring the peninsula, seeing the warframes, I just barge into the officer's mess. I'm like, oh hello, it's me. I'm here to see the war.
Incredible.
I'm a bit poor. Yeah, so that was the Friday night, very chilled. It was the Saturday nights where it all starts to pick up. Not Saturday. Well, Saturday in general, it all starts to pick up.
Cool. So, you know, it sounds like it was really good. And again, I guess... So you're giving quite light briefs? Because I know for And Now My Watch Begins, they're giving pretty intense briefs. Is it just kind of like a few lines about who your character is?
A few lines of dialogue. I was only playing a small side character. Obviously, there is bigger characters, like someone's playing. In short, there's a character called Dooku. Not Dooku, that's Count Dooku from
Count
Star Wars.
Count Dooku. From Flying Lead Nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Before,
yeah. The Rootin' Tootin' Cowboy.
The Rootin' Tootin' Cowboy.
Something like Duco in Sharp, who's a French military officer, intelligence officer. Someone's playing them. They're the big plot hook. They'll have big more lines. You had other French generals. So people had bigger pieces of the brief, but because it was my first crewing role, I wanted to start off something small. But Harry wrote a huge script for everyone. So this whole event is perfectly written out when he wants things to happen, what time. It's all set up.
Nice.
So, Saturday morning rolls around. Johnny gives us a beautiful
crew breakfast.
Bacon, sausage, and egg.
I do love an ILARP crew breakfast.
God, he gave me such a runny egg. It went straight in my beard.
Of course it did.
For some reason, I just can't eat an egg straight.
Perfect for a scruffy private.
Oh, yeah. There's also a nice makeup table. So, if you want to like scruffy
yourself
up. You
want to put some egg yolk in your beard.
If you want to scruffy yourself up, you can do that. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to bother with that. Reach onto the ground and just rub mud on my face. Like, yeah, that looks as realistic as possible. So, Saturday comes around. The first event to get everyone in the mood. A flogging.
A flogging?
A flogging.
Is it Circuit getting flogged?
No, it was a different chappy who got flogged that morning.
Why were they getting flogged?
For stealing a genuine Spanish cock. Has that tickled your pickle?
It's tickled by a genuine Spanish cock. So, is there any depth to this? Is there any context to what's happening?
He was playing an NPC who, the night before, went on an excursion with the players. They got some supplies. He stole a chicken.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't know if you know much about the Napoleonic Wars, but with the Spanish being our allies, it was illegal to steal from them.
Sure.
So he was sentenced to 30 lashes for stealing a cock.
Yikes.
Yes. So they bring him in, put chains around his neck. They've made an awesome-looking prosthetic where his back's all shredded up.
Yeah.
They get the three people who have rented out the kits, who own Provost kits, to march him in. Digby comes in, gives his speech, shows why you will be punished to the full extent of the British law if you steal a chicken. So there they go, whip cracking. I'm also brought in along with this procession, but I didn't steal a genuine Spanish cock, so I just got to walk in.
Did you not get told off for that?
Oh, I got told off, but like they didn't chain me up. I mean, I only stole the pay chest.
Terrible.
Allegedly.
You should have dobbed them in.
You don't snitch on you.
They snitched on you.
I know. What bastards, eh?
Dobbed them in. Terrible.
So the lashing goes ahead. It's great. The whip crack effect goes on. Because they only have one prosthetic and time's ticking, I just get taken round the back. In fact, I start to stroll off because no one's kind of keeping an eye on me. Sure. So I get about, it's a couple of minutes, and then Digby comes along. Oh yeah, get that one too.
Get that one as well.
So I get dragged behind a barn and then given 5 lashes for stealing the pay chest.
Ah, okay, there we go.
There you go. As I say, it's not the 30 for stealing genuine Spanish cock, but there you go. So, first excursion after that, we are all asked to put on red coats and shackles, scruffy up, and go into the woods. Because the first excursion is British deserters.
Okay. Your favorite thing.
It's my favorite pastime. You could call it a curious pastime if it wasn't a feast your eyes system.
God's sake.
So we're all going down to the woods, and it's quite fun. Like you're not doing the RP. You're just having some chill time with your mates until everyone comes. Just having a bit of a laugh, talk about. A couple of the crew go down. They've got the walkie-talkie, so generally, there will be a couple of members of crew there to do watch out, radio back and forth to see where the players are, how they're doing, maybe guide them in the way if they're getting lost. So we're all just chatting around until the players come down the hill. We're given the brief. Right, fire one volley off. Be scattered around. As soon as they get organized and fire back, you scatter.
Sure.
Don't surrender. Unless, like, they really try and get you to surrender because, yeah, you're deserters. You don't want to go back to the British Army.
Yeah.
So it's good that you're constantly getting briefed what Harry and Kitty and Johnny want you to do over the weekend. So you can't really forget. And it's just nice if, like, know if, like, they change their mind or want to do something a bit differently, they're there to do so.
Yeah.
So the British come down. They give us 2 minutes to decide if we want to come back to the army or die like dogs. We're like, no, we're never going back.
Woof.
Fuck you. Never going back to the army. Why would we? So they line up. Bang, bang, bang. We scatter. People going left, going right, some straight down into the woods, some die instantly. I get hit in the leg and go down behind one of the bunkers, and another one is like, right, we'll let them capture us. So like, oh, they got me in the leg, they're killing us all. They come around the corner, do you surrender? We're surrendering.
Yes, sir.
But whilst we were waiting for them to come over, it's like, okay, let's work out a little backstory to our little characters to say why we're here and why we deserted. So I thought that was a little fun bit of crew lore that I didn't think about before. Do you make your own little backstory for your own little character in the unlikely event that you've survived long enough to, like, have a bit of role play? So we did. I wanted just to get back to my beloved Mary.
Oh, Mary.
I think my name was Reg.
Reg.
Reg Sled or something like that.
Reg Sled.
And then he was my brother Hargreaves Sled, or brother-in-law, married into the family. I just wanted to get back to the farm. We're being carted off back to the back to camp with the provosts. We're working out, okay, what we're going to say in this interrogation why we left. And Harry briefed us that if we get caught, just mention that someone in the grey coat with a slight French accent and spectacles told you they could get you out of the peninsula if you just got to the coast.
Yeah, okay.
So you've been given breadcrumbs of what to give to the players if they are smart enough to keep you alive.
Yeah.
And I have to say, Digby was so fun with the interrogations. He had his little table. He had his little book. He was making notes throughout the interrogation. It felt all prim and proper. We were saying, we just wanted to get back to our wives. Just wanted to get back to the farm. We never wanted to be in the war. We got drunk and recruited, given the king's shilling. The information we gave wasn't enough. And that's when the provost dragged us out and court-martialed us. They stood us with our backs faced to the fort and just gunned me and the other one down like dogs.
Like dogs. You should have barked as you went down.
Oof. Woof. So that was quite fun. My first little execution for desertion over the weekend.
First of several.
First
so
of
told.
Two or three, yeah.
God.
That was because Harry seems to be a planning mastermind.
Hmm.
Option one out of three over the weekend. So the players actually got to pick what sandbox they went on.
Oh, nice.
So they had the option of number one, which was this one, round up some British deserters at a tower, mission led by Provost. And that's when they got the option to bring as many back as alive or shoot us all dead.
Yeah.
The option two was patrol nearby Spanish town, name pending.
Oh, see, welcome to our town, name pending.
Pending! Yeah, that was a problem when I was playing a Spaniard over the weekend. My Spanish just comes out as a terrible Mexican accent.
Yeah, I can't do a Spanish accent. I wouldn't even know where to kind of start with a Spanish accent.
No. And option three, a nice, I'm gutted the players didn't do this one. Set up a toll booth.
I wonder why they didn't do that.
I want them to play Papers, Please, the LARP.
I need to play Papers, Please.
I also do. I've heard great things
really
about Papers,
good.
Please.
It looks awesome.
What, a horrible communist country where you got to check the papers.
Yeah. It seems interesting.
I think I've seen a fantasy version of that advertised.
Oh.
I'll have to look it up and see if I can find it and send you. Sorry, 100%. Listeners.
Yeah, sorry,
derail. Tangent.
God, sorry. We'll get back to it.
So, the next mission I go on. So, there's a lot of other things going on, but I'm only going to talk about the things I did over the weekend because I won't be able to give the viewers or listeners, as I say, the picturesque experience of what I experienced. So, my next little excursion, I spent some time around town being dodgy private Belvedere, just adding a bit of pizzazz to the town.
So we've put yet another Belvedere in the canon.
Yes, but this one's only half Belvedere because he doesn't practice medicine.
Oh, I see. He dropped out of medical school.
He was the disappointing brother.
Yeah,
if I ever play Fallen Hope and do a surgeon, he's going to have like, well, where's my brother? I've come to find him in the peninsula.
I was going
to
say he's another one of his brothers, because not every Belvedere sibling can be a doctor, surely.
No. So, played the Belvedere, had some lunch. Now my next little excursion I went on is called Bring It Back, in which I played a deserter.
What? A deserter?
A deserter,
it's not
yes.
It's very off type for you.
I know. Me deserting? What is this? So, the idea of this mission. Several deserters and one Spaniard came back to camp under a white flag. So we got the crummiest looking white flag we could find, making it look really depressed, made ourselves look really raggedy and really desperate, and all came back to camp. So, the story went, we were stuck behind enemy lines. We got cut off from our regiment, our troops. We were all starving. Storms were hitting. Weather was bad. And
it was bloody cold that weekend as well, wasn't it?
It was the perfect weather for Now My Watch Begins.
Yeah.
Did we send you those pictures of just the camp being super frosty
yeah,
in the morning?
It was so cold. It was crazy.
So we come back to camp. Sarge said, if we follow his orders, he can get us back. Or he can get us to the coast to which we can escape with the help of the grey-coated gentleman with the specs and the dodgy French accent.
Oui, oui.
However, we started to grow a conscience when we started to raid and kill farmers, steal their food.
Sure.
Now, I think we were stealing. I think it came to the point where we were going to kill or killed this person's father.
Yeah.
So.
Heavy.
Heavy salad. So we and the Spaniard sneak off and return to camp with a white flag flying over our little heads. Now, the players are pointing their guns at us, telling us to drop our weapons, so we do so. They drag us back into camp. They want our story, so we tell them the basics. Now, I love this bit, because we were like, yeah, we're starving, we have no food. They start looking through our pouches. Now, I think we've just had lunch. And as they reach into one of the private's bag, they just look at the bread roll and just burst out laughing and just put it back in. We've never eaten the bread roll. It's our emotional support bread roll. It's not really there. We're starving. Not a crumb on us, honest.
Please.
To which we then get dragged to Provost Digby.
Yeah, okay.
To give our story. This time,
like Digby spoke to you a lot.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of interaction with Digby over the weekend. tell him our story. Tell us we got cut off from Manny Malines. But rather than telling them both at the same, all at the same time, because there was four of us, he dragged us up one by one to tell our story separately, maybe see if we could catch us out that we were lying. So I think we kind of had a little discussion generally what we were, which regiment we were with, how far we marched, why we were off enemy lines. And after we were interrogating us all, finding out a bit of information, we were let off. Digby let us live.
Very generous.
Very generous. We were not allowed to carry weapons anymore, and we were put on latrine duties.
Well, you know.
But this deserter lived. Ding, 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 ding. So that was a jolly, jolly little thing.
Yeah.
We were kind of hoping that if we did this one quick enough that we could join the big French, first French battle of the weekend. However, I'm kind of glad we missed it, because whilst out there, the heavens opened up.
Oh, yeah.
Really thick droplets of rain for about a good half an hour,
when
45
I came
minutes.
By, when I came by on the Saturday, Sunday, and I went to put on a French coat, I was like, these things are sodden.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
So me and a few of the others were just chilling at the hut. It's like, yeah, we'll take a break. This seems like a good time not to be out there. Poor Circuit, just coming back, looking so wet. I'm actually glad I didn't go out for that one, because every time I go to LARP, I go by the rule of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Always bring a towel.
Yeah.
And I forgot a towel this time. So I'm glad I didn't get too soaked.
I think I've generally been quite lucky with weather for LARP. The worst situations I've had were
the pack down at E3 last year.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Your beautiful nipples on display.
I was wearing like a white t-shirt. Oh my God, we got in the van and someone said...
That was me.
What did you say?
Well, could be worse.
Yeah, you said, well, it could be worse. And I just turned and looked to you. My shirt soaked to the bone. My glasses fogged up and my hair just dragging by my side. I just looked to you like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I had Echoes of the Ancients, which was like was very muddy, but was still good regardless. And then we had a rain at second breakfast. But apart from that, generally been okay.
Yeah, like for English weather.
Yeah, but you got caught out pretty bad, it seems.
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks like that French excursion was actually the second sandbox, because Harry, he seems to love his sandboxes.
Harry's done a lot. I'm very impressed by this plot, Doc, I'll be honest.
I mean, who could outwrite this Harold K. Knight?
Harold K. Knight, the man, the myth, legend.
So, this one was find and fight the deserter leader, which was led by a mix of French and British uniforms. Leader is in a massive bling with an eye patch. Has a letter on them saying they will be rewarded handsomely for destabilizing the region. Option two, Spanish bandits. The same costumes as Juana's band, down past A-frame, running gun battle, but a few respawns. So sounds like a classic bandit encounter.
Yeah.
And then number three, an intelligence officer. So I imagine this is going around finding some additional intelligence that will help the players over the weekend.
Mm.
God, Harry, you're a prepped man.
So much preparation.
So I'm gutted this didn't come about, but there was meant to be a shooting competition as well, which would have been a lot of fun. But I think the rain and running a little bit hard schedule put that off. Now, my next role was as a Spanish civilian with my
wonderful Spanish accent.
Terrible Spanish accent. Now, me and a couple of others ganged together and said, what's our backstory going to be? We decided to be some Spanish brewers. We were the San Miguel triplets.
For God's sake.
So I was Estella San Miguel. Of the
So you had more... Was someone called Corona?
Yep.
Of course. What was the third?
Was it Heineken, just for a little... What was the other one? San Miguel.
Oh, my God.
Estella. Either way, you get the joke.
Yeah.
So, we are all Spanish citizens in a town listening to a French speech saying they will... If we join them and join the French Empire, we will be protected, fed, there'll be stability in the land. So we're all listening to the speech. There's a load of French muskets around protecting this general, where one of the players, a Spanish guerrilla, goes and shoots the general. So we, as the Spanish, flee as the French try to gun us down like dogs. Now, one of the things they did, which was an extra little treat, was I made it so far, and then they threw a grenade.
Incredible.
So,
what was the fizz rep for the grenade?
I think it was just like a ball.
So it was a smoke. So I was going to say, was there actual pyrotechnics involved? Or
I think it was. Like, I was just too busy to like, yay, run for my life!
Yeah, sure.
So, he shot a grenade. And you just dive bomb out of the way.
Yeah.
But it had been very muddy at the time, so I was like, okay, dive this way, away from the mud. And that was another little fun thing. This was the bit, though, when the players didn't realise they had to go round to get to camp. They just ran across that tiny little bridge from Viking into Wild West.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I'm guessing that was like an invisible barrier, wasn't
it?
Yeah, okay.
So they went... Didn't go round, they went straight through and caught the British off guard, French off guard.
Yeah, okay.
But by that time, I was dead.
Doesn't matter anyway, I'm dead.
Yeah, so you are getting a lot of little bits of roles. So the next part, sorry, by the way, listeners, as if this is very much go from next to next to next, but as crew, you're doing a fucking lot throughout the
day. Yeah, I was going to say, so it sounds really good that you did like a lot of different... How did you find that, doing a lot of different roles?
I absolutely loved it. I love playing a character, but I think crewing one role all day would get a bit dull for me.
Yeah, okay.
And having...
Interesting.
I love Sharp. I love the Napoleonic Wars, and I love history. So playing so many different historical characters from different parts of the war and getting a different perspective, having a different personality, it was a massive treat. Like, if you get bored of one character, go and play another one.
So I guess that's interesting. So you did you find like kind of, I mean, it sounds like you're playing similar-ish characters.
Well,
there was not as much
you don't put in too much depth.
It like, also sounds like you didn't have much time to breathe. Would you agree with that? Was it very intense?
It was pretty much bang, 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 bang. I did have some time as my R&R character, but my R&R character was also plot character.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, I was in my element. Skeevy Private Belvedere was a lot of fun just to relax into because it's like less charming Nietzsche, for example, or any of Tom's D&D characters.
Yeah, sure.
Just settle into what you know. So the next crew encounter that I really remember and went on was one of my personal favorites of the weekend called Let Cannon Roar. Now, what do you think this is? Do you think this might have a bit of pyrotechnics?
This sounds like a nice soft interaction with maybe some ladies who have come over from England for tea.
No.
Oh.
This was a great one because this was when the players go and find Sergeant Cole, for some reason, has a cannon.
I know it's not Sergeant Cole, but it's very funny to imagine Sergeant Cole appearing with a cannon and just being like, of course, Of course.
Classic Sergeant Cole. So he happened to have a cannon as a prop, so they brought it down to Islap. Now, we were going to be a French column. The British were going to capture this cannon. And H, if you'll know this, if you listen to the interview with Harry Knight and Kitty, H, absolutely fantastic when it comes to pyrotechnics, props, all that sort of thing, put out these pots of, I can't remember the name, but like explosives anyway. So when the cannon would fire, one of the pots would go off. So we, as the French column, were to march up the hill, as we did. And every time the players fired the cannon, one of these pots would go off, producing big bang, a lot of smoke, very atmospheric, and we would scatter. So we were to do the classic thing as Frenchmen of, that was very sexist of me, French people, French troopers.
No, I think it was French. No, because that's the whole idea of this LARP, isn't it?
Oh, yes, sorry, yes.
The one LARP where actually you're right.
French men marching bravely up the hill towards the British lines. Now, every time they shot, we would move back, scatter, be really dramatic, and start the march up again. A few of us would continue up but get picked off down. So it was basically march, get picked off, respawn, and keep marching up that hill.
Mm-hmm.
They had four shots, and then after the four shots, we would go up that hill and give them hell. Now, this is when I discovered I really don't like party popper guns.
They're difficult to load, aren't they?
Incredibly difficult.
Though I guess that just kind of represents how hard rifles were to load, right?
Now, I don't know if this is counting as cheating, and I'm sorry if it is, but I would slowly, instead of, because I couldn't get the strings through the thing, I kind of held the party popper in one hand, gave it like the 30 seconds, whatever it is, to reload, and just pulled the string whilst holding the party popper.
I don't think it is true, because that's what a lot of people do that, because it was very fiddly to get them in.
It's like, oofed.
Yeah. They were. It was very much like this, because the strings are really, like, flimsy. So as you try to noodle them in, they get caught.
Oh, no, it won't noodle. God. Terrible. These terrible wars where you can't get your noodle through in time.
Fuck's sake.
But yeah. After the fourth shot was fired, we'd charge up the hill, shooting our shots, and once we shot our shots, start clubbing them with rifles.
Nice. I loved having a LARP safe rifle and bayonet when I was doing it on the Sunday, just clobbering people.
Yeah, the bayonets were a lot of fun as well. Yeah. And just marching up the hill really atmospherically saying Vive la France or Vive la Prouve, something like that. That had probably just slaughtered whatever saying that was.
I think we were saying Pour l'Empereur!
That's the one, Pour l'Empereur!
Pour l'Empereur.
Pulled pork?
Yes. For the pig!
For the pig!
I quite shouted, you English pigs!
But yeah, the French got wiped the fuck out.
Of course, as you're
as is
to.
Tradition.
Yeah.
The riflemen were brutal, but that was a lot of fun. I hugely enjoyed seeing the effects in action. It's always nice to know, it must be really nice as a player seeing it go off. But it's also cool as a crew knowing, this is going to happen. Let's observe this and really take in the effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, to be honest, it's one of the things, other than being a cool Napoleonic LARP, that brought me in. I really wanted the effects. I heard the effects budget from the first game and everything they did was absolutely fucking tastic. And H, to his due, did a fantastic job as usual. Me and a lot were told to dress up as Spaniards again. And go and sit in the woods and pretend to be sick. So we all got traumatic wounds cards. We, hopped out into the woods. I could not find a jacket to fit me properly because they've only got so much stuff. So I'm in my LARP shirt, some breeches, and a little scarf.
You're a cold little guy.
I was a cold little guy in the woods. So it takes us about 20 minutes to march out to where we are for the encounter.
Yep.
We sit there. We've got read our traumatic wounds. We wait for our players. And then we wait. And then we wait.
God.
I think we're like, okay, finally. It's been about an extra 20, 25 minutes, they're setting off. What? They're setting off? So we've sat in the woods for about 45, well, it felt like an hour, probably like 45 minutes, in the cold, just like reading, like just doing Spanish lines, like, I am so hungry. Why do I feel so ill?
Me amo San Pedro.
I is sad. Waiting for these British to come along and give us sustenance and aid.
Give you some plot and actually make you not be cold.
I gave my traumatic wound away to Circuit to work off. So my traumatic wound was I was fatigued, so I was tired. But Circuit looked a lot more tired than I was.
You're all over. I think the weather really does drain you as well, right?
Oh, weather is a massive thing in LARP. Like,
yeah.
I like to think I'm a big, tough northerner who doesn't mind the cold, which is usually true.
You're a
until
chilly...
I got ill for the following couple of days.
You're a chilly guy.
I'm a chilly guy. Don't come near me. But, as I say, the British finally make it through the dark woods to give us aid. There's the usual thing where only select characters can speak Spanish. So we sound like we're speaking complete gibberish to them. Yeah. They can't understand us. We're like, can we trust them? Are they going to steal my boots? Why would you steal an old man's boots, sir?
Man, your Spanish accent is fire, honestly.
I should play the next Pedro Pascal role instead of Pedro Pascal. Maybe I'll play Pedro Pascal in the Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal.
Oh, whatever.
Pascal. Pedro Pascal.
Oh, Pedro fucking Pascal. So the British give us aid. They give us a bit of food. They actually bring the props of food, which was nice.
Nice.
I got a wedge of cheese.
Nice. And real cheese?
Pun?
Real cheese?
Real? No, not real cheese.
Oh, that's a shame.
I didn't nibble on the plastic.
I was going to say, I feel like being gifted actual cheese would have been great.
Well, don't you remember that first hoist when I asked for fromage from the French?
I don't think... No, because I missed most of yours.
They gave me a baby bell.
Incredible. That's so good.
I was so, so happy. And then they led us back into the... back to town, gave us some healing, sent the ones with the traumatic wounds that desperately needed treating to the doctors. I went to get changed because I wanted to see if my big treacherous role was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, at this point, there was no time for it. Plot needed to move on, and mine was more of a side role, keep people entertained than anything big. So we went and did another of my favourite moments of the weekend. So, can't do treacherous redcoat gets caught or tries to desert. So, we do... Peter the Postman. So, whilst we've been gone and the event has been going by, the French have been driven out of the town of Lerma? I think it was Lerma. I like to call it Larpa, because what? The town of Larp.
The town of Larpa.
So, we all set up, the French have been driven off, we're having a fucking massive party.
Mm-hmm.
We are thanking the heavens for this heroic Peter, the postman, who has come to save our little town and with along the rest of the English army. But Peter is 99% of the British army's power. And we are all just having a whale of a time, except two of the other Spaniards who are trying to play serious, sad role where their friend has been killed and probably expect the British to
come
back.
My little friend.
So whilst we're all partying up, worshipping the ground, Peter walks on saying, Peter, make love to my daughter. Let us have your child. Or Peter, tell us the story of how you killed 5 centuries without even shooting a shot. So Peter's telling us the story of like how he would just creep on each French person as they pissed and took them out with their knife. We were singing songs like My Peter Lies Over the Ocean. It was just such good silliness.
Christ, yeah. It's a classic LARP sillies.
It was just the ultimate LARP silly I've ever been in. I even got into a fight because I wanted Peter to marry my daughter, but someone else wanted Peter to marry their daughter. Where someone else came in and said, no, Peter cannot be taken. Peter is a free soul.
He cannot be tied down.
And this will all happen till Digby the Provost comes and to find Peter. Now he's instructed to come on, Digby, have some drinks with us, celebrate the French of Ghana. And if they were to take Pete away by force, we'd all be right super disappointed, but eventually let them go. But the players did it. It's like, yeah, they had some drinks with us, they celebrated. Yeah, yeah, it's like, yeah, sorry, we've got to take Peter back. And we were just shouting Peter as we go. We said we'd melt down all the gold in the town and make a giant Peter statue to protect us.
Oh, Christ.
So that was a fantastic bit of ILARP silliness.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
So after that, I get to go back into my favourite costume and put on my shackle and red coat.
Put on your shackle as a little treat.
As a little treat. Put it on sideways, crooked, because the Belvedere's coming back out. I think we had some tea first as well, so Johnny did give us some good grub.
Hmm.
What's to say? More chicken. Ah, to die for.
Johnny's chicken. Does Johnny make the chicken? Whoever's making that chicken, it's good chicken.
Oh, do we just buy the ILARP tickets just to eat that chicken?
Just for the feast your eyes, feast your belly food. Hell yes, we do.
Hell yeah. So after a lovely tea, go out into the town. And a few of us are meant to tell the privates, you fuckers want to get out of here? It's a fucking boxing match going on over there.
Oh, the boxing match.
So we and quite a few of the privates and lower class go deeper into the woods to where a boxing match was taking place.
Yeah.
And the players had decided, it started off with the crew.
Yeah.
So the crew had decided who was going to win the boxing match, the representative of Spain?
Okay.
Or was it the Oxford Bull or something like that?
Oh, God, brilliant.
And for the first match, the Oxford Bull beat one.
I was going to say, I'm assuming it was classic, like, fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs. Classic boxing. There was a bit of, like, WWE moves, like body slams and all the good stuff. The person leading is, like, the hype man was taking bets. The atmosphere was good. Circuit and Ren were there. It's like, ooh, isn't this a barbaric sport? Oh, kick him in the dick, which had me chuckling. I'm just there, rifle still in my hand, because that rifle never leaves Barty. Was it Barty? Yeah, it was Barty Belvedere's hand. It's like always there, never pointing in the right direction, always pointing upwards. But
is this the guy with the cap as well?
The cap, yeah. The
cap at a jaunty angle all the time, yeah.
I really just want to get some art commissioned of him.
That's so funny.
So, first boxing match, he wins. Second round, it is player versus the Oxford Bull. The player wins. The Oxford Bull puts a good thing. So, if you've ever seen the fight in the Orc Camps at Empire, the players will go off into the corner. They'll kind of work out what moves they want to do. They'll work out who will win, which I find really, really cool. It's not just going to be the same person winning every time. I respect a player who's happy to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a good punch up, but the green coat takes down the Oxford Bull. And then finally, it's Oily's Highlander versus the green coat. They have a good bit of a punch up, some nutting in the face. Maybe a bit of catty scratching here and there, until Oily is punched lights out and you got a big flash of his knackers with his kilt. Luckily, he's wearing his underwear, but is that more disappointing or not? I don't know. But that's a quick reflection of the boxing match.
It sounds like it was good fun. I loved hearing Digby's character's response.
And I'm gutted I didn't see this, but whilst all the privates and guards were at the boxing match, Harry had arranged for some voltigeurs to raid the British camp.
Mm-hmm.
So the brief was, sneak up to the British camp as closely as you can. As soon as you get caught and shot at, pretty much go down quite easily. This is just going to probe them, really. It's just to keep them on their toes.
Yeah,
because all the guards were out of the camp, I believe some of them got up to the towers.
Yep.
Some of them even burst in on the officers' mess, to which they were all shot down. To Digby's response, where the hell are the guards? And someone goes, a boxing match, sir. A boxing match?
Apparently that echoed across camp. Did you hear it at the boxing match?
No, but that, I wish I did.
Can you imagine if you're at the boxing match and you just hear his voice, a boxing match? I was like, oh, shit.
Scatter.
Oh, dear.
But that sounds like a lot of good fun. I always love when things like that happen. They don't go to plan. The crew can get one up on the players. It just feels like it's nice for them to have a bit more of a win or get go a bit further than was intended. Like when Drew got captured at...
Yes.
I don't know if that was scripted.
I don't think it was.
It added a lot to the weekend, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, very much so, yes. As I say, I was kept busy all day. I don't, other than lunch and that sit down when it was peeing it down, I don't think I had a proper sit down all day. This is from 10 in the morning to about 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
So you are being worked like a dog, but in the best possible way.
Yeah,
for me, sure. I like being kept busy. I don't want to just be sat around waiting for something to happen. So the go, go, go of all the crew roles was absolutely ideal for me.
Yeah, it sounds very intense. It sounds like it was good. Like, you kept busy. You weren't hanging around very much, which is good.
But when you were hanging around or waiting for the next encounter, it was good because you can sit in the crew area and just have an OC chat with your mates and, like, reflect.
Car park LARP.
Car park LARP, yeah. And I have to say, I really did appreciate some car park LARP. Like, I understand the importance of staying in character as long as you can whilst you're in icy areas. But sometimes it's nice just to drop character and check in with some friends, have some general conversation, and just see how everyone's doing, really, and have a nice little hangout. It's why I think, and this sounds stupid, Thursdays at Empire might be my favourite day at Empire.
I do love a Thursday.
Like, I'm not actually playing the game. I'm just hanging out with people I love.
I am also very excited for E1, because that's when everyone's back and, you know, we're all seeing our friends again for the first time in ages.
Dangerous Thursdays.
Oh God, what a dangerous Thursday that's going to be.
Actually, do you remember when it was like, oh, we haven't seen our mates for 8 months and now we're doing all these LARPs in between?
Yeah. Although there is still a lot of people I don't see in between. Yeah. Like, there's a few people that I see quite frequently. But even then, like, I mean,
Oily won't leave us alone. He keeps driving all the way up north to hang out with us.
I know. Terrible.
Like a daisy.
Terrible.
Clout chasers.
because it's kind of like, there's a few people, because it's mostly the ILARP people we see a lot.
Yeah.
And they go to player events and stuff, but it's nice to go to, you know, Thursday and see everyone again.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But yeah.
Dangerous Thursdays. God, I'm going to be hungover on the Friday morning.
God, don't.
Next mission on my various missions throughout the weekend of playing every single non-NPC character, being a random NPC character under the sun, was being a French voltigeur. So, the French have descended upon the village of Lerma and punished them for their insolence, killing everyone there and looting everything that's not nailed down. So this was quite fun, just like being told by Harry... Basically, find anything that looks shiny, clanky, and valuable in crew.
Yeah.
Bring it to town. And when the players get there and it's ready, just run through the town holding it.
Yeah.
Or keep it scattered around, making it look like you've been looted. So, the village...
Get caught looting, I guess.
Pretty much. Yeah. Or have it nearby whilst you're waiting to ambush the English troops.
Yeah.
So, this was amazing. And I wish I saw more of it, but... Effectively, H is piece de resistance was at this point. The town looks like it's on fire. Red light pouring down, smoke machines coming around the town, so it's ablaze. Some red lights and orange smoke have been thrown into what usually is the church in Wild West, billowing out. The players are coming in. As soon as the players come in, we, as the French voltigeurs, are running out. We stab some civilians. One of the main civilians gets shot just as the British arrive. We run through the town just gunning, trying to kill as many English as we can. Obviously, we've got muskets. We're not doing too well. Players have been told because it's dark, no melee attacks, just the guns. Sure. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. This is so atmospheric. I want to take it all in. Run down an alleyway. Get fucking shot by a rifleman. Now, the rule of a rifleman is if a rifleman says, AU... name, physical, or costume appearance.
Yeah.
I've hit you. You're dead. You go down. So I get shot in this alleyway where I can't see the cool effects or the people fighting. And I was going to try and crawl out a bit more so I could see it. No, they take a knife and stab me to finish me off. So I'm just like, oh, I can't see H's beautiful effect.
I'm just hidden hearing the booms.
I'm here listening to the cool. Oh. It sounds so nice. But after that, oh God, go and look for the pictures because they were so cool.
The British are
running around. They're looting or trying to clean everything up. In fact, I think someone shouted, if anyone gets caught fucking looting, you will be shocked.
Okay, cool.
I believe the quartermaster is killed. No, yeah, the quartermaster is finally killed in this raid. Haven't told you this, but the quartermaster had an attempted assassination on them earlier by one of his bastard children.
Oh.
But I didn't really see that. I just heard it. It's like, serves you right. And after that, it's wrapping up for the night. It's about 10:30. It's time for a classic Juicy Boy encounter.
So we learned what a Juicy Boy encounter was last episode, didn't we?
So go back and listen to it then. The basis of it is you're an NPC saying however many lines of dialogues in the woods whilst players go around and kill you by assassinating you. Now, players actually didn't wait for 45 minutes to come and kill us, which was good. And one of the crew gave everyone a beer, so I was like, oh, that is so nice. A nice little cold one.
Little Juicy Boy's beer.
So we were all just standing around a little fire in the middle of the woods, waiting for us to be killed, just having a nice crew chat, catching up until they get a bit closer.
Yeah.
And as soon as the radio went, they're getting close. We start to like spread out a bit, like we're just doing a patrol. Mm-hmm. I'm humming. I don't know if it exists at this point, the French national anthem. And the players basically just sneak around, gun us down. That's us dead for the night.
Yeah.
Classic Juicy Boy encounter done.
The juiciest of boys.
I think some of the players were saying some information, but that wasn't me.
Yeah, cool. Some of the crew, you mean?
Yeah. I just lie down in the thing. Just like, I get to have a beer soon. Finally, it's 11 o'clock at night. I can have my first drink.
Little beer for me.
Little beer. After that, got back into Barty Belvedere mode. Went over to Viking and played some Liar's Dice for the rest of the evening.
Oh, I love Liar's Dice.
Do you know what the main core was of the night? What are the chances?
3 sixes.
Caught Oily out on 9 sixes. Tell
no,
the truth,
9 sixes.
There was 9 sixes.
Christ.
Bear in mind, there was 4 of us. Was it 5 of us? All with full sets.
That's ridiculous. 9 sixes.
9 sixes.
That's disgusting.
So, have a few drinks the rest of the night, a few whiskeys, a few beers. Mm-hmm. Morning comes, another frosty morning. The cannon's looking beautiful.
So, around this time, I had just woken up in my lovely hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
The night before, I'd been on some wonderful dates. Seen a bit of drama, had a few drinks.
Didn't get any luck with them, did you, though?
Didn't get lucky in my dates, but that's irrelevant. Had a little bit of wine. Then I'd woken up in my nice, warm hotel bed, looked at the cold, frosty day outside, and I looked to my companions in my room, and I said, do you fancy being French today? And they looked at me, and they looked at each other, and they said, oui! But first, we went to have our Kentucky Fried... No, what did we have for breakfast?
So Macca's.
Macca's breakfast, that was it. Got ourselves on... Macca's? Yeah, we did. We got a Macca's breakfast.
This is important detail.
It's important detail. We were nice. We had nice and warm in my car, had nice warm Macca's, nice warm hotel, get to site, and you're all there in your hoodies and your frozen queue for crew breakfast. And we're like, hi, everyone. Very chipper. And everyone's like, morning, what are you doing here?
Actually, I think I was already in kit. The joke was, did you just sleep in that kit? I actually didn't this time.
And then we got our kit on, and my God, those jackets were wet. I got to put on a silly French hat, and I went for a rifle, and then I think I had a sword as well.
Yeah.
Which was good fun. It was nice being crooked. It was good fun.
Did you enjoy the difference?
Yeah, it was good. It was fun to just kind of go all out. So I've monstered before, obviously.
Yeah.
And then I've monstered at player events, which is a bit different as well. So it's fun to do. So it's nice to kind of like just, you know, a bit low pressure, especially just combat.
Yeah.
A lot of waiting around for some of the plot stuff to happen that
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, I was just doing some plot stuff before that kicked off.
We were basically like, right, Tom's a dessert. He's going to go and deal with that. And then we're gonna leave.
Yeah. So my little job that morning was to go out with 3 or 4 deserters, rattle them up, say, right, I fucking had enough. We've been mistreated. We ain't been fed. Half of us are fucking dead. Have you seen all those graves out there? So many of us deserted. The French are going to kill us all. I'm fucking out of it. You know what? These officers, even having a fucking wedding in front of us, whilst we're not getting paid, they're fucking splashing out the port and having a wedding here. I've had enough. Now, the quartermaster who died the night before also joined me on this. There was also two others. However, after being ignored all weekend about being deserters, the players' officers came down on us a lot faster than I thought we were going to be, because I thought I was going to be able to walk off and do this. But one of them grabs me, like, look, calm down. So, like, right, I can either get caught here now or book it. So I let him let go. Fine, fine, fine. I'm fucking out of here. So me and another one fucking peg it down the road.
Yeah.
The other two who are meant to desert with us are just there looking, what the fuck, we're going now? Oh, but they just stay there because the officers have surrounded them.
Yeah.
We're running down the road. I'm like, how far do I actually go with this? Do I actually want to be caught so I slow down so the provost can catch up?
Yeah, sure.
Whilst the other one is continuing down the road a bit further. Fucking run, I can't remember his name, but fucking run, Reg. Get back to Doncaster. Run for freedom.
Get back to Donny.
You can do it, mate.
Crikey.
So for the last time of the weekend, I am dragged off by the provost to talk to Digby. And that's why I got why I was deserting.
Because I'm sick of it.
Because I've had enough. We're lambs to the slaughter for you British ponces. I give that speech, like, I don't want to be in the meat grinder. I wanted just to go home. It's not worth it. Digby's had enough. He's forgiven too many desertions over the weekend. We get dragged off by the provost, but this one got darker. We were made to dig our own graves.
Jesus.
Yep.
God.
They made us dig our own graves, and I posted this on my Facebook, but the players actually did make like little fizz reps of all the graves. They raked the ground so it looked all fresh, got some wood, put them round, and made little crosses, and it looked really picturesque.
Yeah, it did. It was pretty intense because we walked past them when we were going to where crew was setting up, and it was like, oh my God.
So, yeah, the other player was making a bit more of a joke than I was. Like, I'm just going back to the big old Doncaster in the sky. Gotta go back to God's own country.
The big old Donny in the sky.
Meanwhile, I was like, am I going to actually play some serious roleplay? Yeah, let's do this seriously. You're all going to fucking die. You're all just lambs to the slaughter in this. They don't give a fuck about you. You ain't paid. Just run for freedom. Get the fuck out of here. And start kind of weeping at what I've done. It's like, I just wanted to go home.
Yeah.
And then we're shot. Gunned down by the provost. Oily refuses to shoot me because apparently his character comes up with the rule, I don't shoot down a man who's not armed.
Oh, okay, sure.
And that ends Barty Belvedere's experience of being treacherous redcoat.
Poor Barty Belvedere. So after this, this was then our joint crew session.
The final confrontation.
Yeah. So brief was basically...
You talk about this one more. It was
in summary, basically, it was be French, run at them.
You got to wear the blue coat. I was a voltigeur. There was no blue coat left.
I wore a blue coat and I had hidden. I wanted Oily to not know I was there.
So I managed to keep it stuck the whole weekend.
He saw me. He was like, what the bloody hell? As he saw me running through the field. But I had a great time. Basically, it was just be French, run at them, shout, you know, Vive la France, pour l'empereur, as you kind of run at them, and had a great time skewering people with bayonets. Every single time I was getting to people, I was like, if it was people I knew, I was like wrapping around them and like getting my bayonet and going, and then collapsing them to the ground, which was good fun. It was like one of my mates who's in a few ILARPs with him. We were like stabbing the hell out of each other until we were just lying on the ground, him on top of me. And he was like, and he goes, hi, mate, how you doing? Didn't know you were here. I was like, yeah, I came for the sun. He was like, oh, beautiful. And got off and ran off. But yeah, it was really, just really good. And it was really fun just running a line with your gun screaming, and then when you hear crack, 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 just eating shit.
Yeah.
Just like hitting the deck.
I love the effects. Like, they brought carts down and everything to make it look like a proper convoy. I really do appreciate that attention to detail.
It was so good.
So you were a standard infantry man who was marched up in column. I was a voltigeur, so we were basically the scouts. We'd go off in the flanks and start picking people off. So 9 times out of 10, I didn't manage to get anyone. I'd be shot down.
Did we kill any players?
I didn't kill, but I hit quite a few players.
I left quite a few players in pretty mortal
I did.
Danger.
I got told about the game of Digby Enrichment, which was try and stag Digby so he has the best possible time. Not kill, but, you know, like, give your friends some game.
Yeah.
And I remember booking it because I saw a moment where the English had moved a bit forward.
Yeah.
Digby's at the rear. So the other Spanish one I was having it, Spanish gorilla who I had been having a shootout with was distracted. So I go and book it, jumping over logs, dodging all these puddles, and just ram my bayonet in Digby's back, to which I instantly get shot by a British troop who sees that. I'm like, yes!
Yeah.
Got hit. And that rewarding moment when you see the ref just hand over a crit wound to someone
else.
I have done my job.
We had quite a few good moments. I had a moment where there was like me and this other English soldier were kind of like about like 10 feet apart from each other, and both was racing to reload our guns to just bang, keep firing at each other. And I'm just there like last few breaths. Like, it was some really good, like, intense final moments.
Yeah, there was one where I was charging Oily with my bayonet. I was like, I'm going to get him and go to get him. He finally reloads the second before I go, shoot me. And I just slip on the
it's
ground
so
at that
good,
moment.
It's so good, isn't it? To just slip and smack on the ground.
Another one, I snuck behind enemy lines whilst they had were pushing forward and shot Digby in the back.
Yeah, beautiful.
One time I was aiming for someone else looting a body. He's like, hey, you! Aiming for him and hit Max from the fighting spud instead, which I just found funny. He goes down. I love players who actually take hits and really adds to game.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it's a musket. Yeah, they're going to miss. But when a player actually takes a crew hit, they don't have to die, of course.
Yeah, 100%.
But it makes it so much fun to see players more. They can be wounded. Yeah. And that really adds to the atmosphere.
Dying is big and clever. Especially in film sim systems where it's like you choose when you die. Yeah. Dying at a moment that makes sense is big and cool and should definitely do it.
Well, we can say that now because we've died now our watch begins.
Yeah, especially when it's a one-shot.
Die at one shot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's big, clever, and cool.
Yeah, awesome.
And so that pretty much sums up my time at Fallen Hope.
That concludes your hope that was forlorn. Good time.
Fantastic time. I'm actually hopefully going to crew again. So crew applications go up tomorrow. So hopefully going to apply for that.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll get on. And hopefully I'll get to play a Skeevy Private once more.
Awesome. That sounds fantastic.
I'd highly recommend anyone, if you're not sure about maybe playing the game, definitely think about crewing, because I had so much fun. And it was nice not to have to go out and buy kit, think of character plot for myself. Harry or Kitty or Johnny just give you the plot and you just give it your all and have a great time.
Yeah, no, it sounds awesome.
You're giving good time for yourself, good time for players, and you're getting fed awesome chicken. What more do you want?
Absolutely.
All for the bargain price of for free.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it, right? It's all free.
And I just want to reiterate once again, if you do get, are you one of the lucky people to get these tickets, please do crew. And if you realize you can't make it, let Johnny and Kitty know as soon as possible so they can give someone else the ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I enjoyed the short time I was there. And I can't
you think you'd crew another role then? I know you want Oasis.
Yeah, I wanted to crew Oasis. But we'll see how it goes. The thing is, the ones I go to, I'm always, because I obviously am driving a long way.
You want the player experience to play for when the drive.
But the LARPs I go to, I already want to play. So it's like Hoist, Flying Lead, stuff like that. But yeah, no, it sounds really good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, can't wait to do it again. I'm going to be crewing a Rogue Trader LARP called No Rest for the Wicked next week.
Yeah, we've both got different LARPs, haven't we? I'm doing Welcome to the Forest, the Empire player event.
Yep, but you're going to be playing.
Oh, of course, you're crewing, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got the crew bug.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it'll be really good.
So I'm excited for this. It seems like, because I can't drive.
Yeah.
And to save me money, like maybe having to pay money for transport, crewing's a great alternative so I can still get some fun.
Are you getting Lyft up to?
I am getting Lyft with Adam up to the Rogue Trader LARP. And I managed to persuade him to go to now Full On Hope 3. So hopefully I've got a Lyft down to that as well.
Awesome. That's
no really huge mega bus for me. Just to get to Liverpool.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening this week. We hopefully going to be back, talk about probably either mine or Tom's experience, I think is going to be the plan. But yeah, thank you very much for listening.
Remind them of the Patreon. We're yeah. poor.
As usual, if you want to support us, the easiest way you can support us is by liking and subscribing, following, downloading, telling
your friends, reviews.
Leaving some 5-star reviews. So we've looked into this. So the only place you can leave a 5-star review with like words is iTunes. And if you again want to support us, leave a 5-star review on there, and I am contractually obliged to read it out. So go ahead and give us feedback there if you want. But yeah, thank you very much for listening. If you want to support us even more, we do have a Patreon at Fabletop, so that would be great as well if you want to support us there. Help keep the lights on.
Thanks to you, we're no longer holding our mic stands down with boot strings attached to boots.
Exactly. We've got some half decent office equipment. So yeah, thank you very much to our existing Patreons as well. And yeah, thank you very much for listening.
See you on the field soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, so close to Empire. Ah,
about a month away.
God, I'm so excited.
E1, baby.
Thanks, everyone. Catch you later.
Bye, folks.